You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Avalanche Podcast, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account to get amazing odds boosts every single day. Pick of the week for this weekend, right here, right now. I've made a lot of money betting against CU, as much as some people in this company hate that.
I don't even know how that's possible to make a lot. I mean, I can understand winning a bet or two along the way. It's pretty easy to do.
You so with every CU game, you bet against them and you hammer the under.
Yeah, that's true.
Because they never score any points.
Yeah. And that's one where you're just like, you just hope that they don't give up so much.
Yeah, that they like, don't get blown out that bad.
Last year, yeah. USC scored like 2 points extra, and we were so mad about it because we both lost that bet.
Yep.
Yeah, it was tough.
CU's playing Air Force. They're 17.5-point favorites. If you believe in Air Force, you can go get on that bet. The under-over is set at 50.5, so I'm hammering that under heavily.
With a triple option.
Yeah.
And then with CU's offense.
Yeah.
The 50.5 seems generous.
That's the game that ends like 24-7. So I'm going with that for my pick of the week for the weekend. It's that time of year where you can make ridiculous money on college football if you're good at it, which I'm not, but bet against CU's easy. So that's where we're at on today's show. We're getting into current players that are headed toward the Hall. We'll talk about a couple like recent retirements too. But players in the NHL that are going to make the Hall of Fame. Look, we've talked a lot on the show about the trajectories of McKinnon, McCarr, even Mikko Rantanen. Don't want to get into those guys because if they retired today, I don't think any of them get in. But people that if they retired today would be in the Hockey Hall of Fame, I should say. There's a bunch of obvious ones that we don't need to talk about. Crosby's in.
Rudolph, let's start with you, because if you retired today, I think I'd put you in the Hall of Fame.
Aww.
Which Hall of Fame?
The YouTube Hockey Hall of Fame.
Oh.
There's like three people that would go into that total.
So?
And it wouldn't be me.
So it'd be Dangle, the hockey guy, and then Rudo.
Dangle's in. The hockey guy's in. After that, it's probably like Rob Talks Hockey. You have like Maroki on defense.
No.
These
are all pretenders.
You have that Melody Martin is the girl who does the Sabres stuff.
Oh, the songs that she does.
Yeah.
Are adorable.
Yeah.
I have enjoyed
so the that. So there's like at least five people that go in before me.
No.
And probably like dozens more than that.
No.
But, you know, Gravity, he's definitely in before me.
No.
Absolutely not. Anyway, not very relevant. We already know. Look, AJ's already in the PHWA. That's basically the Hockey Writer Hall of Fame. So.
only because I pay my dues.
I hope we find out someday that like the Hockey Hall of Fame makes the players pay for their plaques. That'd be hilarious. Anyway.
That'd be amazing. Like just sitting here thinking about that. Here's your plaque. And then it comes with like a bill.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, P.S. The labor was really difficult on this particular bust. So
I think the part that hurts is it wouldn't even surprise me if it happened. The NHL for a long time has been a little bit of a cheapskate league, but
yeah,
you know, I guess it's I keep forgetting it's the Hockey Hall of Fame. Like people get in on international stuff all the time.
Yeah. There are some people whose cases are
purely international, like, basically.
They're really enhanced by what they accomplish internationally and so on, versus what they've done, I guess, domestically in the NHL.
Yeah.
So, chat really wants to talk about the championship DVD at the end of the year. I do miss those Sports Illustrated commercials. Like, the Colorado Avalanche have won the Stanley Cup, and that means you can get your commemorative plaque and DVD here in your magazine and blah, 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 blah. All you got to do is call this number and $39.99 plus shipping and handling.
Order now, and it comes with your replica Stanley Cup ring.
Exactly. I do miss those. I miss those commercials.
And then they have, like, they cut to some random player saying they're going to Disney World. Yeah.
RK's even got a Stanley Cup shirt on right now. So,
I liked the promotion they did. I don't know if they've done it at playoffs before, where they had Stanley Cup tweets, and they had people who had popular tweets during the Stanley Cup run. I think they sent plaques.
Yeah, Luca from Bar Down got one.
I think that's kind of cool.
I thought Bolden got one, too.
Did he? He might have. Yeah. I just happened to watch Bar Down the other day and saw it. They like, send him a letter, and it's signed by Stanley. It's pretty great. Anyway, Hall of Famers.
We're signed by Mr. Cup.
Yeah. Sir Cup. We're not going to get into the obvious ones. Like I said, Crosby's in, Kane's like, in, Malkin's like in.
Ovechkin's
like, in.
Guys like that are really, like, they're obvious. Zdeno Chara's obviously in. Duncan Keith will get in. Are there really any goaltenders? Like, Lundqvist isn't in yet, but we know he will be. Like, it's just a matter of waiting, right? Like, easy enough. Let's start with goalie, because I think it's the quickest position for us to work through. Is Marc-Andre Fleury going to get in just because everybody likes him?
Yep. He gets in on the character clause, for sure.
He gets in on nice guy and,
nice guy tries hard.
Nice guy tries hard. Exactly.
And if he doesn't get in on the vote, like, in 40 years when they have the people that get together that won't remember that he was backing up for two of those cups.
Yeah.
They'll be like, well, he won three cups.
Well, and the lack of NHL players being allowed to go to Olympics during this part of his career really shut down some of his opportunities to build an international resume as well. Because he would have been one of the few Canadian
almost certainly wins the gold medal there.
Yeah. Well, and then the other guy that he would have been competing with, though, Carey Price.
Yeah, but they're probably both on the team, right?
Does Carey Price get in? Is Carey Price?
I don't think so.
Why no? Because when he was at his best, he was one of the very best.
I don't think that the best was long enough, and unfortunately he played on a not good enough team.
So longevity, what in the world?
Yeah, that was a little fly bug landed on
me. My face is already very uncomfortable today, and I got bugs flying at my eye.
It's one of those days. I don't think there's enough longevity there.
He has a pretty good international resume because he was successful internationally when he was healthy.
And like, I could see an argument there. It might be a little bit hypocritical of me because I think Forsberg absolutely deserved to be in, and his, peak was very, very short.
Well, and we've seen the NHL has let, so Eric Lindros, Pavel Bure, Peter Forsberg are all in the Hall of Fame. And I don't think that there's any really good argument to keep them out because they were among the very, very best at their peak. Their problem was injuries. Their problem was longevity. And so I think with Carey Price, you're having kind of the same conversation, but it's with a goaltender, and there aren't a lot of guys like that that we just...
There isn't that same track record with goalies, right?
Right. Like, most there goalies aren't a lot of short-tenured goalies in the Hall of Fame. Sure. So, Carey Price, I think I would lean yes, because his best was just so good. And then, I mean, the cup run that they just made, obviously it's during the COVID shortened season. And this
might
and that.
Be like, what pushes him over.
And he didn't have a great regular season. But then you go and you flip the page, you look at the postseason number, and you're like, golly.
The other one, if Vasi retires today.
So I think Vasi's obviously built that resume already. He's been a top five Vezina vote getter more years than he hasn't been in his career.
Yeah, I put him in.
He's got the hardware. He's got cups. Believe he has a con Smythe. Like,
yeah, I think one of them. Yeah,
I think between Kucherov, Hedman, and Vasilevsky, I can never remember
I think it's Hedman and Vasilevsky.
Is it Hedman and?
Yeah, I know Hedman definitely has one.
Oh yeah,
I don't know.
All right, chat will let us know. Either way, Vasi's got all the hardware that you could really, really ask for a goaltender already. And you want to talk about a guy that's gotten hurt not being able to play internationally.
Yeah.
Because...
sorry that you have to play 80 games every year as a goalie.
It's... I think with Vasi, I think that's an easy, like, the answer is yes. Like, he's in.
Okay, Megan?
I was thinking of it because some of the measure for other players, skaters, is a little bit different. But for goaltenders, I feel like he already has the qualifications that I would set for a goaltender for the Hockey Hall of Fame. And I would have confidence saying it now because the trajectory that he's on, I imagine that there's more accolades in the future for this goaltender. So it feels like a safe bet.
If you're looking at future path, I think Vassie's really beyond in. Yeah.
Confidence behind that.
Yeah.
What do we think about guys building a case? Are there some guys that are like, is a guy like Connor Hellebuck working on it right now where he's had a couple of exceptional years and then he's just been pretty good? Like, he obviously has, the answer would be no, but is it a good enough start that, you know, you could see 5 years down the road, say he wins another Vezina in the next five
that,
years.
That might be what he needs.
Yeah. And he's very good in the other four. Maybe not Vezina, but, like, very good. Do we start to have that conversation with him? Multiple Vezinas,
goalie, you know? Goalie is so, so tough to get in because I think a lot of it, unfortunately, for the Hall of Fame is still team-based.
Sure. Well, and I think that's true of
skaters, of every, too. But I mean,
Jonathan Taves
goalies,
is going to get in, like, and Claude Giroux isn't. And
as much as... we love analytical stuff. There are still people who put wins and losses on goaltenders and make it matter for the Hall of Fame.
I wish, like, they didn't, man. I really do.
But they do.
I really wish wins wasn't a thing that they assigned goaltenders.
I'm with you, but it's not the world we live in. So,
because the goalie literally can't win a game on his own.
Nah, goalies have scored goals, man.
No goal has ever been scored by a goaltender with another goalie in net. So.
Yet.
Grigiev market.
It's happening.
It would have to be one of those ones like the empty net goal that the Avs scored this last postseason where the goalie was caught halfway out. Yeah.
A goalie thinks it's a delayed penalty on the other team.
Yeah, it would have to be. It'd have to be something silly.
The Avs have never had a goalie goal at all, for the record. Berra had one in the AHL.
Yeah, but he was real excited about it. Yeah. The flyby on the bench was my favorite part of that.
That genuinely was super dope to see a goalie take the flyby. Megan, did you have thoughts on Carey Price? I was curious where you fall on that one.
I am leaning towards yes, just because of the unit of measure for goalies being a little bit trickier than it is for the skaters, and I still think that he could build a strong case.
You don't think he's done forever?
Oh,
let's start there, because
I don't even feel comfortable saying what I think because I don't have a good feeling.
Okay, fair enough.
I hate to speak it out loud, you know.
Yeah, I feel
you. Put that on him.
Hope for the best.
Right.
Leave it at that. All right. I think it's really hard to go into any. Gibson at this point is probably not getting in given his last few years. 3 years ago, you said he's building a case for it, but now it's really tough.
You're going on almost half a decade of the guy not even being an average goaltender.
Well, and that's why it's so hard with goalies, because if Hellebuck posts a 9-10 next year,
which is what he just posted,
the conversation is over, right?
Like, I don't think it's over, but it gets harder.
Sure.
Like, every year that you're not a top five goaltender, when you're talking about a Hall of Fame resume. Every year you're not a top five goaltender, it gets harder. Because lots of goalies just don't go in.
Yep.
It's not like with defensemen and forwards. Like, It, quick is an interesting one, too, because above the average career, the postseason play, the success that that he had behind really defensively stout teams, I don't think people will care about that. I think they'll look. I mean, they did not give a shit with Martin Brodeur.
Yep. That the Devils played the
right. That he had the typical trap. He had the easiest job in the league for 10 years in terms of as a starting goaltender. So, Quick, I think Quick will be a really interesting litmus test of guy who has hardware, but certainly has the longevity, but. How good was he?
This is the...
Because the answer was pretty good during his prime.
Yeah.
But was he ever really a sustained top five goalie? You know, for me, I would have a hard time judging that just because I don't... That was during an era where it was like Varley or bust for the Avs. And so I just was not as tuned in around the league.
Well, then...
I'd have to go back and look at numbers and really dig into... where he fits in and into the generation, because I do think Quick will be a really interesting litmus test.
Yeah. The two cups go a long, long way for
him. Right, because if Carey Price had two cups, this would be an easy yes.
He's in like, for sure.
There's no conversation.
Yep.
You know, Corey Crawford, speaking of two cups, Corey Crawford and the guy had above average numbers basically his whole career. But again, it comes back to, was he ever elite?
It's interesting.
That's how I feel about Tuukka.
Yeah.
Tuukka's
a tough one.
Tuukka for me is a guy that I've always said yes to. Because if you go and you look at his career, he almost never had the big down year. He was so good for the majority of his career. He was so good. And he does have the one Vezina that he stole from Varley. I don't know. I think Tuukka, I would lean closer to yes. And then a guy like Bobrovsky, I would lean towards no.
Okay.
I don't think Bob's in.
I support that.
I think Crawford might be out too. Because you're going to get a little bit of voter burnout. Because Kane's in. Keith's in.
It could be the opposite, though. It could be, hey, let's reward those all-time great teams. He was only on two of those teams and not all three.
And the thing is, I think Taves is in.
Oh, that's, I said earlier, Taves is going to get in and Claude Giroux's not, simply because of team success.
Right, and I think it gets hard. Like, I think Taves takes up the, well, this is the team guy spot, and then it gets harder for them to put Crawford in, too. But...
I think Taves gets in because of the kind of like with Fleury, everybody wants to put him in.
Well, you know, they always sell themselves on, oh, he was the captain.
Exactly.
All the defensive acumen, yada, 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 yada.
I get it.
Anyway, let's not go there yet. Let's move into the defenseman. But before we do that, we are brought to you by Evoca TV. That's EVOCA.TV/Colorado10.
Fair enough argument for Quick. I can live with that.
You go over there to Evoca TV today. You get TV for just $15 a month for the first 3 months and only $25 a month after that. So jump on it today. You have the opportunity to get Altitude, AT&T Sportsnet, all the national channels, NFL Red Zone, bunch of movie and TV channels as well through Evoca TV for prices way cheaper than other options like Dish or Comcast. So jump on it today. Go to Evoca TV. Help support us there. In fact, you can even watch us on Evoca TV. The DNVR channel is on there. Yeah, straight up. Flip us on the DNVR channel. We're live, baby. So that's... Do we have an official date for the Nuggets documentary yet? No. At some point, that's dropping on Evoca too. So... You're going
to
want to check that
out. I heard they went to Serbia.
I've heard about it once or twice.
Rumor has it.
So check out Evoca. We're also, of course, brought to you by Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. Opening night of the bar. Well, reopening. Tonight, refurbished. Looks dope down there. If you're here locally, come on down. Come have a beer with us. Everyone's going to be hanging out tonight for the opening.
You can tell who the adult on the beat is because somebody dressed up and looks great for the opening. And then there's us.
This was intentional.
Rolled out of bed and were like, oh, those are the first things that I see.
I put jeans on, all right? Give me some credit.
Will they stay on? Jeans.
Might have to cut the legs off.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. What I'm saying.
Go to breckbrew.com if you want to check out all their stuff. They have a bunch of amazing merch beyond just their beer.
I am so excited to have a beer and hang out with everybody tonight.
There are Macargaritas.
Yes.
It's real.
All right, I guess we're having some of those tonight, too.
They're still playing around with what they're going to do to make it unique to Macar. There's some color, like a color change with Curacao that they're working on.
No, all you got to do is at the very end, you make the whole margarita, and then you put something on the very top of it. It's just an innate.
That's what I said. Use grenadine syrup. See? It's red. It's easy.
It's easy. It's quick, and it's easy. Just anyway. The one thing that I wish we had, I wish we had the fish bowls. Oh, I had a friend who was out last night and sent me a picture of his fishbowl, and I was like, I wish we had those at the bar.
It's gonna be long.
I'm a nice person. For some people.
Have you guys ever seen the buckets?
I still would be a nice person.
Have you guys ever seen the buckets?
No, I don't think so.
So it's literally one like a bucket they use like for sand and making castles, and they just fill it to the top with alcohol. Like you can get them at certain restaurants. Those would be pretty cool.
My God.
Do they clean the sand out of them first, or?
They leave a little sand so it feels like at the beach.
Yes!
Disgusting.
Texture. What a cosplay.
I guess you get halfway through the bucket and you probably don't notice the sand anymore. So
you start to hear the ocean.
I think that's, yeah.
Okay. So, defenseman. Keith is the absolute lock.
Do we want to touch on this greatest goalie thing? I want to do this because Jesse's not here to make the bad argument that Hasek got lucky.
Wall's still better.
Because I've always been of the opinion Hasek had the better prime, like the better sustained run.
Absolute peak.
Yeah. Okay. He had that like 4 or 5 year period where it was like, what is this? But if you go and you look at Waugh's entire career, you're like, holy shit. Dude.
It's just ultimate sustained success.
This is completely nuts.
Yep. Actually, and then his playoffs are just stupid.
Oh, yeah. Like, what he accomplished in the postseason three Conn Smythes. Three Conn Smythes. Good God, man. We're going to be laughing about that in 10 years when Makar has three.
Yeah, right. One down.
Dryden, I think Ken Dryden gets really, really, really overlooked in the GOAT conversation of goalies. I went back. I went through like a rabbit hole one night of Ken Dryden's entire career, including all the NCAA records that he set. What the fuck? That guy was unbelievable. Unbelievable.
I feel like goalies more than any position suffer from era separation, though.
Oh, dude.
So it gets really, really tough.
Well, and especially because players just didn't play it. Like,
yeah,
Ken Dryden retired at like
completely different.
He retired at like 31, 32 and was like, I'm going to go do something else with my life now. Yeah. And like now you don't do that.
Yep.
So, yeah, anyway, I think the goalie GOAT conversation is really just fascinating because there's so many different angles to it, and team structure and all that plays a role into it. Like,
I'm still crazy about Pekka Rinne. I feel like he's just wonderful, but he wouldn't belong in this conversation, but it wouldn't take away from what he did in his career either.
If he got that cup,
Pekka Rinne was really good.
If he got that cup, I think he was probably a conversation.
It's hard to point to something to show for it on a piece of paper that's tangible, but if you watched him play.
He had the one Vezina. He had the one Vezina, but it was like, I don't know, Pekka Rinne is interesting because he was part of the generation that put the Predators on the map in the NHL.
Yeah,
I agree.
Like Shea Weber, Ryan Suter, Pekka Rinne, Roman Josi, all kind of those guys all sort of combined to be like, oh, hey, the Predators are actually to be taken a little bit seriously. So it really, he's an, that's a really good name. I liked Pekka Rinne a lot. I like UC Soros a lot too, by the way.
We know.
I'm just saying. He's only got one year as a starter. But if you go and you actually just look at his career numbers, it's like, what the fuck? This guy's just good every year.
You've segued us nicely into the defenseman with Nashville. Chara in.
You segued us with Nashville. Well, Here's a guy that didn't play for Nashville.
I'm knocking these out before we get there.
The way you led into it, I thought was great.
Chara in. Hedman in. What's the third? Heath in.
Yeah, those guys are easy. I think those are easy locks. I think Drew Doughty's in.
Probably in.
The hardware, the reputation, just the fact that it seems like when the Kings are bad, he's bad. When they're good, he's good. And I just think it's a direct result, though. He's that good when he's good that the team is better.
And then the Nashville guys, one's not in Nashville anymore, obviously, but two very different conversations with Shea Weber and Roman Yossi. Okay.
Really just going to just blow right through Ryan Suter.
We can talk about him, but I don't think he's in.
Historically, because I think he's the more interesting conversation, because historically, how do you value a guy that plays
a billion minutes a night?
A top four role? Really a top two role? But at this stage of his career, it's more like top four. But a top four role for 18 years.
I mean, Adam Foote's not in.
Well, he didn't do that.
He did for like 12.
So, okay. Do you think that Adam Foote was better than Ryan Suter?
Yes.
Okay. I think that's fair. I think in their primes. I think I would agree with you.
There's any doubt in the
prime. I think Suter certainly has the longevity there.
For sure.
Because Foote continued to play, but he was not any good the last several years of his career.
Yeah, everything after he went to Columbus started to go downhill for sure. But
yeah, it's too bad. Anyway, I think Suter's an interesting guy just because he's not done. You know, we talk about a guy like Shea Weber. He's not going to play again. The book is closed, right? But Suter, I wonder, he's never really won anything. But he's always, I would say that for the majority of his career, he's been a top 15-ish defender, right in that range, for a lot of his career. I guess I don't want to say majority without actually going back and looking at all of it. But he's been a top-ish defender.
How many dudes in the Hall of Fame are you saying have been top-ish?
And, well, this is where you kind of do draw that line where you're like, okay, this is where international success would help some of these guys.
You're right.
Because had Ryan Suter been part of an American generation that won a gold medal or two, you'd really be talking about it. But never getting that opportunity and then really no accomplishments. But from a defenseman side, this is as close as we're getting to a guy that's a compiler.
Yeah, right.
Because the title of the show is Patrick Marleau, which we'll get to. But Patrick Marleau, a compiler. Ryan Suter, he's a compiler. But defensively, is it easier for a forward to get into the Hall of Fame as a compiler simply because of points? Because you can look at points and say, he scored 1,100 points in his career. What are we doing here? Well, he played for 35 goddamn years.
Yeah, I do think it's easier.
Okay, so how does a defenseman that's a compiler get in? Like a Ryan Suter. If say Ryan Suter plays four more years and he continues to play, you know, he puts up 35 or 40 points each year and he continues to play 22 to 25 minutes a night.
How many games played is he at right now?
I don't have it in front of me, but
because if he starts pushing into the like 1,500, 1,600 game range, I think, yeah, he could get in. And Megan, you might have to be the tiebreaker here.
I say no.
Let's go.
But I'm going to sell out myself. I'm not familiar enough with him.
1280.
To feel passionately about him being in the Hockey Hall of Fame the way that I'm more familiar with a Shea Weber.
1280 and he's got 639 career points.
Yeah, so if he can play like the next 3-4 seasons and stay healthy and that point number gets like 700 some and the game number gets like 1500, I think it starts being a conversation.
Okay.
But today, no. And I do think, especially in the modern age of the NHL, a player like
Cronwall should not be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, Cronwall's a hard no. That's easy.
It's the second time you've asked, so I thought I would just wrap that one up.
Suter is not the style of player that pops, right?
So, and the reason why I wanted to get into this is because does that set the model for Jacob Slavin?
Honestly, probably.
Jacob Slavin, a very, very good and very well-respected top defenseman in his career, but more of a defensive guy, puts up enough numbers that he's easily a number one on his team and all, but historically, Jacob Slavin, if he has the kind of career...
I'm not going to say it's impossible. I think just because we haven't seen, you know, if Slavin can keep this up well into his 30s, we saw a little bit more of a tail off, especially on the production side from Suter as he started to age. But
Suter's production's been fine.
It's been fine, but it wasn't like a steady 50 points.
Yeah. I mean... That's a funny line that you drew because he's got seasons of 45, 46, 43, 47, 48. Like he's like one good week from that mark.
Well, he's one good week from the Hall of Fame then every year, I guess.
I guess, yeah. If we're going to have 50 points be that line of demarcation. Okay, so Ryan Suter goes into the Hall of very good. So okay.
He'll be in the USA Hockey Hall of Fame, but
I think that's an easy call. Yeah. Okay, so Ryan Suter is a no, but then a guy like Shea Weber, a guy who won hardware, a guy who for stretches of his career was among the best of the best of the best. And I think we could have the Shea Weber conversation ties into the Erik Karlsson conversation.
I'll let Megan take this first. She can go wherever she wants with it.
I don't know if I want to be the driver of the Shea Weber bus.
Whose bus are you driving then?
Probably Shea Weber a little bit more than Karlsson, and it's only an unfortunate result of what has happened with Carlson's career injury-wise. Same could be said for Shea Weber too, but I think it's happened at a later stage. And it's a really tough call. I could make a case for both, but I think I'd be more willing to put the backing behind Shea Weber.
So,
because we already touched on Doughty.
Yeah, we said he's in. Yeah. Shea Weber and why I think he could get in is he has an iconic skill.
Yeah, being fucking awesome.
He's not only is he extremely good, but
that shot.
He could go out on the ice 10 years from now when Nashville has their old stars game and there'd still be people diving out of the way of his slap shot.
Right.
He is an absolute bomb that people know and respect. On top of, he was an amazing defenseman, by the way. And I think that's what pushes Shea Weber over. Erik Karlsson, despite the unbelievable peak, it put an ad up.
Fuck. Look at the hardware that he won.
Yeah. Like, obviously,
yeah.
The Olympics helps him a lot. And
well, it's not so he. This is a Norris. This is a WJC, a world champion, a 2 Olympic golds, and a the World Cup.
Yeah, the World Cup doesn't mean a ton to me.
And he's got a Mem Cup.
Yeah, then the junior stuff, sure, whatever.
I mean. He's a 2-time All-Pro,
and
like first second team All-Pro.
The thing is,
his peak. The point I mean, his peak was the peak.
Here's the thing:
it's the peak.
I think EK's peak was higher, but EK was he's great. Oh, he's the best defenseman ever, and then an actual cliff face.
Yeah, well, and then he loses half of his ankle.
Yeah.
Plays through it in the deepest playoff run that he went in his career.
Basically, and it ruins
the rest of his career.
Yep.
How much do you punish him, even though he can still play, he's still productive, he can't ever get back to his peak because of all that he put into that one run?
That's the decision he made. And
sure, but he still had that peak. He still had the peak that led to a team drafting a guy like Cale Makar in the top five because they wanted a guy like Erik Karlsson. He changed the way that teams prioritize those defensemen. And now because of that decision and because Cale Makar got drafted and then has been the guy that he is, the offensive defenseman has never been more respected in NHL history, in part because of Erik Karlsson.
And it's great the impact that he had there, but you don't give a guy credit for the peak he would have had if he didn't get hurt.
He didn't need the peak he would have had. He had the peak.
He was still a two-time Norris winner. I didn't realize this, but now I was like, I'm driving the Shea Weber bus now, apparently. I can see the argument for Erik Karlsson almost equally. Well, not almost equally.
I think
the almost is doing some heavy lifting.
I think culturally, Carlson's impact is bigger
because Sean Behrens.
After
Erik Karlsson, there's a reason for that. It's the offensive defenseman and what it did. The generation of offensive defensemen that we're seeing, like Cale Makar, modeling their game after Erik Karlsson. I'm like, okay, I'm seeing it now. I'm seeing it in real time play out.
I guess you guys probably just put more weight into him defining that role than I do, because I think that change was coming inevitably, Karlsson or not.
It needs to have a face, though.
And the dudes who, I don't know. Like, if you look historically, the guys who actually started doing that stuff first never get in. There's just some random dude who, like, well, really, he did this, even though Karlsson gets the credit for it.
Just want to clarify, it's not that Behrens plays like EK, it's that young players like Behrens cite EK as being a player they admire. That is coming from the players themselves saying, that's who I model my game after.
An entire generation of kids grew up being like, holy fuck, I want to move the puck like Erik Karlsson.
Exactly.
I don't want to go into a corner and Krug, but. I don't want to like very few people are like, oh, I want to make a really high IQ play like Ryan Suter and have great stick work. Like, nobody's modeling their games after Devon Toews. They're modeling it after Cale Makar. And before Cale Makar was Erik Karlsson. Erik Karlsson was the face of that generation. He was also a giant driving force in the rise of the analytics because of what they said about his ability to drive play, where it was like, you don't need to be an elite defender if you never play defense. If you move pucks so well into the other end of the ice, you don't need to defend at the same kind of level because you always have the damn puck because you're always playing offense. It changed the way teams prioritize defenders. There are, I would argue right now that there are a lower number of pure defensive defensemen, like the 15.6'5" put you through the wall type of dudes in the NHL than ever.
I would agree.
Because of the influence of guys like Erik Karlsson.
Yeah, I do think he had a significant impact on the game.
You should model your life after Devon.
I don't know if he was the first to do it, and I don't know that I particularly care about that influence.
I don't think he's the first. I just think he's the generational defining defenseman, the one who helped change the game into what it is now. And I think that that has a bigger impact than a guy like Shea Weber. And I would put both in the Hall of Fame. This isn't even me, like,
right.
You know, I don't have to pick either or. Yeah. I would just say yes to both. Yeah. I'm a big Hall guy. I'm not a super small, really, really, really exclusive Hall of Fame guy. I'm a bigger Hall guy, but I would say yes to those guys. I would say yes to those guys.
I think I'd say yes to Weber. I would struggle with Karlsson, but also his career's not over. So,
I mean,
I'm driving two buses now.
Do they both have to stay over 50 miles per hour?
I was going
to
say, the third Speed movie is going to be really complicated.
That scene with, who is it, Van Damme, who's doing the splits between two semis.
Yeah, I can't even say sequel because they made a Speed sequel.
Oh,
it was on a cruise ship.
No.
Nah.
This boat has to go faster than 20 knots.
I literally don't remember anything other than that.
Bermuda Triangle.
We do have to move a little bit quicker here, but a couple other names that need to be talked about on the defensive side. Chris Letang, Roman Josi.
So, Roman Josi building it, Chris Letang, I think, If you're gonna say I think if you're gonna say yes to Chris Letang today, you'll say yes to Chris Letang tomorrow. Outside of him winning a Norris, which I don't think he has in him.
Nope. Not at this point. I don't think it's happening.
Outside of him winning another Norris or a Conn Smythe, I don't know that. Because your biggest selling point is that he was part of the three cups with Malkin and Crosby. He was like the third guy with those three musketeers. He was that third musketeer. Does he get in solely because of that? Is that enough? While recognizing Chris Letang has been great. He's had a great career, and every player who gets drafted in the NHL would cut a bitch to have his career.
There's no way I can say yes to Chris Letang and not say yes to Erik Karlsson. I'll put it that way.
Starting to turn into a small hall guy
here. I am. It's happening right in front of me.
So this is where you balance the, you know, for Jonathan Toews, I think the two of us certainly would say no.
I would definitely not put him in the
Hall of Fame. I don't know how you feel about it.
I'm not that passionate about a yes. But I haven't sat with it long enough. I would still lean towards no, though.
Go ahead and pencil you down for no.
But I'm looking at the compiler argument. And with someone like Chris Letang, I don't know how much hockey is left in him.
Well, the Pens just signed him to a contract that believes they've got...
That's what I'm saying. So it's like, all right, they seem to think he's got compiler. Yeah. For Taves, there are some health issues that I just don't see that as strongly for him, which makes me lean towards no even more. That I think his hockey's kind of behind him.
Yeah. I would agree.
There's not really any other interesting names. Yossi's a no for me right now.
Yeah, Yossi's the guy that's still building that case.
Yeah, he's got some time.
That's where him losing this
Norris
to Makar could really hurt that legacy. Because now you're talking about multiple Norris wins for Roman Yossi if he wins that.
Yeah.
And that's tough. You put that hardware up there and you're like, it wasn't like he was a top five defenseman. He won the Norris. Which is hard to do. Only one guy gets to win it every year. So winning it is a really big deal. Winning it multiple times, you're very, very, very special player. So I think Roman Yossi, I think we'll see how the next 5 years go. As of right now, I would probably say no. But if he stays at the level that he was at last year, holy smokes.
There's a world where he ends up with like 1,000 games and 700, 800 points. And then you're like, okay, but... Right now, I don't think so. I don't think anyone else on this list is really that close. Yandel's not getting in. Carlson's probably not in.
Yeah, John either. Carlson's a no for me. Has John Carlson ever had an extended run as a top 10 NHL defenseman?
He had that 1 year where he was like, this guy could win the Norris.
This is why I say an extended run.
Yeah.
Because that's one where you're like, that's one where you're like, he's always kind of been there.
Yep.
Kind of like a more offensively oriented Ryan Suter.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
He's just been there forever, but is he that next level? I think the answer would be no on John Carlson, too.
Yeah, I think so.
It's funny. Carlson and Suter both going to go into the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame, though.
Oh, yeah. Definitely, Lux. You could throw a same guy in that same category, Joe Pavelski.
Are we good on D? And like we all think, Cale Makar is going to be there. But he's going to make that case.
It's just too early to put him in.
Yeah. I mean, I've said before, if he got into a car accident tomorrow and he couldn't play hockey for the rest of his life, I think that you could have a genuine conversation where 3 years in the NHL, he wins a Norris, he has a second place vote, or he finishes second place 1 year. He has a top 10 finish his rookie year in which he wins the Calder, and he has a Conn Smythe. Combine that with the international success where he did win a gold medal with WJCs. He does have a Hobie Baker. I think you could make an argument that Cale Makar did enough, if something traumatic were to happen, did enough in such a short period of time that you could say you could put him in. He would be the ultimate, I think he'd be the ultimate litmus test for elite run, like an elite run of play. So
I wouldn't put him in, but apparently I'm the small hall guy, so Megan, you continue to be the tiebreaker.
This is Kale Makar?
Yeah.
As of today.
If he, like, was paralyzed today.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
All right.
I mean, we sure hope.
Better not. We have no control over that.
And not even for a hockey reason, just for his own personal.
Yeah, straight up.
I'd say no, but I wouldn't be happy about it.
Okay.
Garbage. Soft. Both of you soft.
On that note, we are brought to you by Athletic Greens. You can go get yours today at athleticgreens.com/avalanche. When you go over there, you get your, what do you call it, a powder? Is it a supplement? I don't know what
it's a power pack.
A power, the power packs are the travel ones.
It's a power pack that helps you make a power pose after you've consumed it.
Oh my God.
That's what I've been doing wrong.
No power posing?
No power posing.
It's great for you. It's one scoop in your cup of water every morning. It's got 75 different vitamins and minerals, a bunch of other probiotics and adaptogens and things like that. People use it for their immune system. They use it as for pre-workout routines. They use it for just feeling good every single day. So it's a great hangover cure, by the way, since if y'all are coming to the bar tonight, I'm just saying.
Just kidding. Dude, you just got to get the IV for that.
The IVs are so expensive, though.
Yeah.
That's the thing. With Athletic Greens, though, it's super easy to use every day. A bunch of athletes use it in their daily routines as well, so you can take control of your health. Again, go to athleticgreens.com/avalanche to order yours today. And when you order, it comes with a year's supply of vitamin D just for ordering. So great stuff all the way around. We're also brought to you by Pins and Aces, our new official DNVR golf apparel. You can jump on that. Get it right now. Great to
load up on Pins and Aces gear for one of our golf tournaments.
Yeah.
Which are quite popular.
They do really well. I love our golf tournaments. I wish I could go to more of them, but
I know you've participated in a couple. You went to one of them.
I just drove around in a golf cart. It was awesome.
You didn't even take somebody's club and take a practice swing or two?
I don't think I was trusted. I asked a few people, hey, can I?
I don't think I was trusted. Megan has developed the reputation of hiding knives and now is not trustworthy with a golf club.
No one would say it directly to my face. I think they were scared.
All right, it's okay. I'll let you swing my lefty clubs. It'll be fine.
Oh my God, that sounds awful. I can't the physics of that.
It's so brutal for me. I to go righty, it's impossible.
I bowled left-handed one night just to see if I could. And it's not like I'm like a world-class bowler with my right hand, but I did it with my left hand and all my steps were all backwards. And it was the weirdest thing. I put up like a 160 bowling left-handed. I'd never done it before. Everything was broken. And I was like, should I just switch?
Am I just a lefty?
Yeah.
I had a better score that night left-handed than I did right-handed. And it made no sense to me.
I've known people who play sports with the non-dominant hand.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up playing baseball. Plenty of kids would throw left, hit right. So anyway. Go check out Pins and Aces, pinsandaces.com. When you use code DNVR, you get 15% off your order and free shipping. They're awesome. They have a bunch of amazing golf merch. Highly recommend. Shout out the golf bros, too. Go follow Big Drive Energy on Twitter. Our golf guys are dope.
They're a lot of fun.
Their TikTok is actually what you should follow. Yeah. Their TikTok is amazing. Phil Kessel is not getting in.
Moving on.
Yep.
No for me. Sorry.
So the forward side, there's a lot of good conversations. Obviously, we put Marlowe.
Before we
get
into modern guys, Pierre Turgeon, Alexander McGillney, put them both in the hall.
Absolutely should be in. There's no
put them both in the hall right now.
Yep, you could put Pierre Turgeon in any day, and everyone would just go, "Yeah, okay, cool."
Somebody would be like, "Oh, the old guy. Why are we gonna put that guy?" And then you go back and you look at his career, and you're like. Holy shit, that guy could play. It's funny to hear all the guys tell all the beer leaguers in Denver tell the stories about seeing Pierre Turgeon, where he'll just mess around. Like JJ's told the story where Pierre Turgeon likes to shoot at his mask just for fun.
Yep,
not hard. Like he'll he'll like wrap it around and toss it up, and just
flip
him in the
one
face
up there.
Yeah, just to make him mad. So Vincent Nampoos, no.
I don't want to get into too many old guys.
Yeah. Those were the two guys that really stood out to me as...
Those are the clear snubs. Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely.
But...
You should take that.
I already know AJ's take here, so I want to start with Megan on Patrick Marleau and the accumulator debate as a whole, because Patrick Marleau is the epitome of... He is the accumulator. He has the most games played ever in NHL history.
That's the compiler of all compilers.
Because of how we've used compiler earlier for other players, I feel like I have to say yes based on how we applied it earlier.
That's such a reluctant yes.
Hold on. And I actually really like Patrick Marleau, the human being. So this is not a yes I want to be.
He's got the daddest face that ever dadded.
He's just big dad, for sure. He's a terrific human being. The leadership that he brought to Sharks, I was just going to say, though, I don't know off the top of my head what his hardware looks like.
It's not much.
Not a lot.
WJCs, what are we working with?
All right, you're going to make me look it up, but... No, it's really the big selling point, I think, with Marleau is the game's played, and it's a weird thing to put a guy in to the Hall of Fame because of that.
I don't think that's that weird. When you're the best, like when you have the most ever of a stat.
Yeah, and the last couple of years, he kept getting jobs because the team wasn't trying to be competitive.
He's 2 gold medals. That's pretty good.
So he...
They're up on the screen, by the way.
Thank you.
You got to go to Quant Hockey. That's the way I know how to look at it.
Played in 3 All-Star games.
How many years was he in the league?
Like 18 or something. More than that. No, it had to be more than that. It must be like 22.
21, 22,
23.
Interesting.
97 to 21.
Oh, actually, will you stay on those points totals?
Yeah.
I'm curious what his last few seasons look like.
Yeah, that last season is really brutal, but everything before that's okay.
Yeah, those 20 and 30 point seasons. I mean, that's really great stuff.
You're still an NHLer if you're putting up those type of seasons. 9 points in 56 games, not so much.
Interesting. It's harder, yes, still.
I it's a yes for me.
So, you know how many times he received hard votes in his career? Not even like won the Hart or was a finalist, but how many times he appeared on a Hart ballot in his career?
Nope.
5 times.
Wow, that's more than I thought.
And that is he finished 23rd,
sure.
26th.
Not relevant.
17th, 21st, and he peaked. He peaked at 9.
Again, this isn't about his ultimate skill level.
Isn't that what the Hall of Fame should be? It's showcasing the best of the best, not the guys long on the longest.
And he's the best of the best at longevity. No one has ever played more games in the NHL than this guy.
His willingness to stick around when he stopped being an overly effective NHL player is why he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. That's the argument that we're making here. That's the argument.
We're making the argument that a guy managed to keep himself in NHL shape for 21 years.
So now we're saying a guy goes in the Hall of Fame because he was in great shape?
Yeah, look, if he wasn't a good enough player to stick in the NHL for that long, teams wouldn't have signed him. It's not like he's some bum who played 1,800 NHL games.
If the Sharks were trying at the end, if they were competitive, would he have gotten an NHL job and broken the record?
Maybe. I don't know. Also, I don't think it matters. The fact that he broke 1,700 NHL games, he was in for me. Like,
dude,
that's an insane amount of hockey.
Yeah, availability is fine, but you're talking about the Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame, where the people who shape the sport go.
You also,
so the guy who hung around the longest gets to go into the Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
Because he was a fine top 6 player?
It's not like he's a bum either. He had 1,200 some points, and I get it. He was around forever, so he had more time to get points. Yeah, he still scored the points, though.
Yeah, and at no point was he ever a top player, though.
He does. Yeah. Oh, darn. You're not a top player, but you played 1,700 NHL games. I guess you're a bum.
I'm not even saying he's a bum. I'm saying he shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame because of games played.
Yes, he should. You should. If you top a statistic, you should be in the Hall of Fame. Full stop. Even plus minus.
So you get to just decide that you don't even have to be that good to get in the Hall of Fame. So you, the small hall guy who's keeping out
you're completely
generational talents so Patrick Marleau can get into the Hall of Fame.
How impossible it is to play that many games? You're undervaluing this so much. And casually ignoring all of his other statistics, which are all very impressive.
Yeah, like scoring 566 goals in the NHL. Like, you score 500 goals, you probably should be in the Hall of Fame. That's one of those it's like when you it's like in baseball. You get 3,000 hits, you're in. You're like, in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
But that's if a guy takes twice as long to do it.
All right, Megan, mom and dad are fighting and you have to solve it.
I think there needs to be a new hockey vibes Hall of Fame. Phil Kessel, Marc-Andre Fleury, and Marleau. Easy. I'm sold. On vibes.
This to me is like if Nazem Kadri played till he was 45 years old, you'd put him in the Hall of Fame?
If he had the statistics, yeah.
And good vibes.
If Nazem Kadri played and had played from now until he was 45 years old and he was the average 50-point guy that he has been the majority of his career.
He'd be in.
And then obviously the last couple of years he has the fall off.
That was his
But his average, you know, he's more or less a 50-point guy.
Yeah, assuming he gets around to something like 1,500 games and over 1,000 points, yeah, he's in.
Okay, so you think that longevity is more important than greatness? You think that longevity is greatness?
Yeah, so again...
I should say, you think that longevity is its own greatness, not replacing correct. Greatness.
And I believe sustainability is important. It's kind of the conversation of why I struggle with EK, because I'm not arguing that his peak wasn't unbelievable, but it was so short.
So this is where I think we've developed a fundamental difference on how we value the Hall of Fame, is that you want a guy to be able to do it for a long time, and I want my Hall of Fame to be the guys who are the absolute best at it, and I don't worry as much about longevity.
So
I take it into consideration, I take it into account.
Maybe.
But the fact that I said that I would put Cale Makar in the Hall of Fame right now tells you that.
And maybe.
The greatest to do it. I'm more concerned with the guys who are at the absolute tip top of the game.
I guess my bias might be.
For me, Marleau was just never that guy.
I don't think he was ever like a tip top guy of the game, too, but the longevity just means more to me. And on the shorter term side, maybe my bias is that if you're that short term of greatness, I want you to be Peter Forsberg. I want you to be arguably at his peak a top five all time player.
Yeah, well, I think that's why Forsberg's in. That's why Lindros is in. That's why Bure is in. Because you had three guys who were the absolute peak of what they were capable of.
And if you don't have sustainability, you need that level of greatness for me to get in. And every year of sustainability, it lowers that bar a little bit for you, I think.
I guess I really struggle with a guy who was never considered really a top 10 player. A top 15 or top 20 player. Was he ever even the best player on his own team?
Probably for a year or two in there.
Because he was there with Joe Thornton, who we haven't even mentioned, but he's
the innest of in.
Easy yes. Because that's longevity and excellence at the tip top of the game.
That's where we should drive the conversation too, is players who embody both these two things.
Well, they're not interesting to talk about because those are easy yeses. Joe Thornton is fucking incredible. He had an amazing career, is one of the absolute best playmakers in NHL history, and I think that one's too easy.
So,
if you want an interesting conversation, what about Nick Backstrom?
Yeah, that's where things...
Because that's a guy that I had previously said, for me, was a yes, because he's been a point-per-game guy for 900 games. He's a point-per-game guy. That's crazy to me. But now he's got injuries that may... I think either end his career or greatly reduce his effectiveness as a player. Is what he's done, has he done enough?
I think the answer is yes. He broke the 1,000-point barrier, which is huge. You know, he's one of the greatest assist guys of all time. His international stuff, he's got 2 Team Sweden World Championships. He's got a silver medal at the Olympics. Obviously, the cup for Washington is huge for him. I would still say yes to Backstrom.
Just for comparison's sake, Patrick Marleau's first 1,000 games or so, 766 points. Yeah. In 1,035 games.
And that's the balance of Backstrom is a significantly greater player in that time frame. That's
basically Gabe Landeskog.
But Backstrom isn't going to play another 700 games in his career.
Yeah.
I would say yes to Backstrom. And if Landy plays another, you know, 10 seasons, I'd probably say yes to Landy too.
I don't even care what the question is. I'll always say yes to Landy.
Megan, so we can kind of expand this. There's a conversation here in this section.
The Nick Backstrom conversation is so much easier than I thought it even was.
It's easy.
Yeah, he is the shit.
By the way, so, yes.
Also easy, Bergeron.
I had him at the top of my list.
So I think with the Guy Carboneau's getting in, that opened up an easy road for defensively excellent guys to get in. My concern with letting a guy like Bergeron in is, does that open it up for Ryan O'Reilly?
Probably.
Because if you're going to try and tell me that Ryan O'Reilly's in the Hall of Fame, I'm about to break this whole fucking set.
I mean, he's not in today. If he retired today, he wouldn't be in for sure. But
if he plays till Bergeron's age, if he plays to 36, yeah, that's, 37, that's 38. That's where
it gets tough. Right.
Like, he still put up a 65-point season last year.
Oh, God. Fucking kill me.
Bergeron did. So that's – you have – Ryan O'Reilly would have to play to that level at a later age.
So if Bergeron's in, Kopitar's in.
Kopitar was the other one on my list. Absolutely, okay. Yes.
Okay. Why also...
Megan's about the defensive forwards. Got it.
That's also like Cups, Selkies. He had the 1 year where he almost won the Hart.
Yeah.
When Taylor Hall stole it from McKinnon.
Lady Bing.
Like, he's been... And no chance at international success because he's the only player from... Slovenia, if I recall.
The only one with significant games. Yeah.
Like, you look at Slovenian hockey history, and it's like Andrej Kopitar.
And that's end of list. Yep.
He's another one similar to Bergeron, too, who is still playing really well.
Yeah, both of them have had...
Those are the guys that we need to stick around to keep O'Reilly from getting the Selkies required to get in.
Just play... Three more years.
Unless Marlowe.
O'Reilly is.
There it is.
Unless O'Reilly is going to leave St. Louis and come back to Colorado, then he can win.
Oh, my God. Here we go. What a homer.
The look on that face right there was
cool. I hate it as much as I hate other things. But I wouldn't be driving the O'Reilly bus.
Stamkos easy in?
For me, it's yes. But I've always loved Steven Stamkos.
Me too.
I think so.
He's over a point per game. He's
going
to break 1,000 points this year.
I think the one thing is that he'll get credit for a postseason run that he was played not.
Literally 3 minutes
in. Yeah, that he was not part of. So
scored a goal, though.
It was pretty impressive, man. Goals for 60 off the charts that year.
So that one, after that, it really gets hard after that. Then you start talking about Claude Giroux.
No.
Corey Perry.
No.
The Traitor.
Ha! What's he won?
Nothing.
That's goddamn right, it's nothing.
Yeah, and then that's kind of end of list. You have Kucherov down the way with less games played. Well, and
you get into the guys that you think will probably be in someday. McDavid, Draisaitl.
But they're not there yet, yeah, really.
Those guys, it's
tough because of not having won anything, but still being the best at their position.
If Nathan MacKinnon never wins a Hart, But he continues to be, you know, a 90-ish point player, whatever. We're comfortable saying that, yeah.
Yeah.
If he has five more, like, truly elite years, we're good with putting him in the Hall?
Honestly,
even if he never wins any more hardware.
I think I'd probably put McDavid in today.
He was someone I had on my list possibility for yes because of like what he's done.
Yeah.
Especially already. These last couple seasons.
Like. Yeah, well, it's like, how many Art Ross does he already have? How many Hearts does he already have? Right. Like, he's won all the hard ones. Like, that's one where you're like, oh, well, his team success is now being held against him. So, yeah, no, Perry's not going in.
I don't think he is.
What do you have to say about Ovechkin? That's an easy yes. Like, come on.
Yeah, there's nothing to talk about.
We talked about moving past those guys because there was nothing. So, is Sidney Crosby going to be in the Hall of Fame, guys? Like, who? Come on.
Just kidding. I'm like, sorry.
Of course. if those guys aren't in your Hall of Fame, you don't have
a real Hall of Fame. Who knows? I mean,
like, those aren't guys who are just in your Hall of Fame. Those are guys who have wings.
Yep.
In it.
Yep.
Like, Alex Ovechkin should have a full blown exhibit of his own.
He gets the whole goal scorer wing. Like,
yeah, it needs to be him. It needs to be Kretzky. It needs to be Bossy.
When Austin Matthews retires, he retires into the Ovechkin wing.
Yeah, like straight up. Like, absolutely. We literally Joe Thornton. We just mentioned him. Absolutely.
Easy yes. Hard yes.
Somebody mentioned Ryan Getzlaff. I think that's a tough one for me.
He's the super borderline guy.
He is right on the edge for me where the high end was absolutely there. He played for a long time. He has hardware. Not a lot of hardware, but some hardware.
If he keeps playing, he's a yes. For Rudo, at least.
He said he was retiring. Aww. So he's done. A 1,000 points in 1,150 games.
Yeah. I think I'm probably a yes on him. It feels like if I'm such a yes on Backstrom, I have to be yes.
I'm such a sucker for the guys that are assist ballers. Like,
it's funny because people will be like, oh, well, secondary assists are noise. And you're like, yeah, well, a guy that picks up 65 assists per year,
yeah,
he might just be good at this.
Yeah, I think he's probably in, especially because he gets the captaincy bump.
Are they waiting on us? Okay, let's get out of here.
Yeah, we've ran way over time at this point, so we are going to get out of here. We appreciate all of y'all. We hope you enjoyed the Hall of Fame conversation. We are off for the weekend, but the bar is open. So
yes, I'm Malkin.
Come on down. Yeah, Malkin's in. We will be back next week with a whole bunch of different stuff. We want to have our culture conversation, but also Avs rookie camp starts next week.
Yep, so we're back at the rink next week.
Thursday is day one.
Which is both exciting and I'm just not ready.
One
more week. I really could have used one more week.
The Labor Day weekend, I was like, okay, I'm ready.
Like, but I'll admit, going through my new TV service that we just got at the house, and I saw that one of the categories is AHL, OHL, WHL, QMJHL. I was like, I think I'm ready for that.
Yeah.
And then I started watching minor league baseball. So
that sounds about right.
Look, man, the Rockies system is all of a sudden flush with dudes that I am interested in. They have so many like 18, 19, 20-year-old guys that I can dream on that I'm like, I'm going to watch high A baseball for the next 3 weeks.
Conversation for a different pod. We love you. We're out of here.